We're going to Matthew. We're going to go to Isaiah after a while, but we're going to Matthew right now. I love preaching about Christmas. Matthew chapter 7, and while you're finding it, I'll just start the introduction here. I want to talk about the best gifts. There's a lot of advertising going on, and you wouldn't believe, and I just decided not to show you what the world thinks are some of the best gifts. They have some crazy things. As a matter of fact, they have, for those of you who are challenged by the new mobile phones, they have an old-style handset. You know the old handset that you would put on your ear, you know, the old dial, rotary dial phone, and you plug it into the side of your mobile phone and you can talk to somebody. Oh, man. For $19.95 or whatever it is, I don't know. So, the best gifts. I want to talk about what are the best gifts at Christmas. And by way of introduction, we want to go to Matthew chapter 7. Look at three scriptures briefly here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If ye then, speaking to us, being evil, that's us, if we know how to give good gifts unto your children, look at these verses. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Folks, we know how to give good gifts that people, we all know of the good gifts that people can give to their children. And really, some people give away to their children. They give iPods, they give mobile phones, people give to each other hampers. Some people are going to get cars this Christmas, some will get computers, some will get exotic things. Others will get ties and aftershave, you know. Oh well. Some people give out a great love. And they just love to give, and you can tell it was out of love. Some people give out of great guilt. You ever wonder why some people give such expensive gifts? It's really not because they love them, even though they may. It's because they have a guilt complex, and they're like, they got to make up for something in the past. And some people give out of competition. I read there the other week, last week, that they estimate that everyone will give 800 euros per person this Christmas. I want to be adopted. Wow! That's competition in my book, amen. There's no need for 1,800 euros worth of gifts. But that's the average. What is the guys on the upper end of the scheme giving? I'm at the lower, amen. Some folks give out of competition. Now, we know how people give good gifts. We also know that there is gift giving at Christmas. Some people have problems with Christmas. Well, the wise men didn't. They came to the baby Jesus and they brought three of the most priceless gifts. One was gold. Another one was frankincense, which was an amazingly rare but extremely exquisite perfume. And then one of the gifts was myrrh, which was a medicine, and it was something for healing, and it was extremely also expensive. These were given to show, and if you look at Christ, that was His roles as prophet, priest, and king. But not looking at that this morning, just want to show you that gifts were given at Christmas. But what are the gifts that God gives? And what are the gifts that He'd like to give? Now, I found them to be the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 9, if you'll now go to the right and find our second verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. By the way, right now as we're meeting, John, a young John Manny, and Gina, and Ruth, and Barry, and Marcus too. Didn't he go as well? They all went over to Waterford to fill in for Pastor Thatcher. And so, just remember them in prayer. Just pray a quick prayer for them as John's preaching and trying to be a blessing over there for that church. And boy, I appreciate just helpful folks who want to be a blessing. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. If you'll notice your Bible, and maybe 2 Corinthians 9:15. It must be 2 Corinthians. I wrote down the wrong one. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, yes. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. Speaking speaking of gifts and speaking of God, it says this, 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now, when the Bible uses the word unspeakable, it means a word without description. It means this gift cannot, you can't begin to describe how important and how tremendous this gift is. It's, you're just speechless. Thanks be unto God for His gift. That's the kind of gift that He gives. Let me show you another one. Go to James chapter 1. Almost to the end of your New Testament, just before Revelation, come back a bit and you'll find the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 15 says this. No, it's not 1:15, it's 1:17. Every good gift and every, what's the next word? Perfect gift is from Brown Thomas, right? They'd like you to think so, but it's from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights, there's your Christmas lights, with whom is no variableness, He doesn't blink, amen, neither shadow of turning. Hey, you know what kind of gifts God gives? Good and, I love the next word, perfect gifts. You ever had a gift that was just perfect? Well, that's the kind of gift that God gives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's have the Lord teach us this morning some things about what He wants to give and what He does give. Father, we do look to You to change our perspective. We're kind of a peculiar group. We want to know the best gifts. The world advertises, tries to get our attention saying that their gift is the best gift. Really, we want to learn what are the things that last, what are the things that matter, what are the things that we can receive, and even we can, in some way, we can give ourselves and can make a difference in another life. So bless us today, please, as we study Your Word, change us. Don't let us be the same. As we listen to You, speak to us, change us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Very simple message. I want to speak on the best gifts. Somebody wants to get a piece of paper out and says, all right, this is my gift list that I'm going to be working on this year. The first one is going to be found in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Some of these will make sense to you. Some of them will be quite profound. But the first thing I want to say is the best gifts are personal gifts. I know you would agree with that. John chapter 4 and verse 10. Now we all love getting gifts maybe in the post. It's nice to get a big box in the post. Sometimes now my kids, when my mom sends gifts, she sends this box. You know, it's airmail from America, you know, and the kids go, Grandma sent gifts! And that's exciting. But I want to show you a better gift. John chapter 4, it'd be a whole lot better if my mom, if Grandma brought them personally. Can you see the difference? The best gift is when somebody's able to give it personally. Look at John chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus Himself is speaking to an outcast, this woman of Samaria. And verse 9 it says, Then saith the woman of the Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me? How come you're talking to me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of Him, and He would have given thee living water. Jesus is trying to get her to see that a miracle was taking place, not just that He was talking to her, but that He had a gift for her. Amen? And it was being, now this is wonderful, it was being personally delivered to her. Go back up a few verses, look there in chapter 4 and verse 3, still in chapter 4, you're in John chapter 4, verse 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and He must needs go through Samaria. Nobody did that. If you were an upstanding Jew, you would take the long way around the northern area. It'd be like Athlone. Saying, I've got to get to... say there were, in order, say you got to go up, what's north of Athlone? There's nothing. But, but day there was a whole area saying you were going to Northern Ireland, and you're coming from Cork. Instead of just say there's a highway that took you straight up, because those Athloners, you know, we don't have anything dealings with them. So you take the long way around that area to get up to the northern area. And that is what people normally did, but Jesus said, I've got to go through Samaria. I've got to personally deliver a gift. Now that just teaches me a lot about what God thinks about gifts. Number one, He says, personal gifts are the best. You know, the best gift, I believe, is when that gift is a person. And what's wonderful about Jesus is He has a play on words. He says, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, you'd ask of Him and He'd give you living water. But what's amazing, when you get this thing called eternal life, you get something more than just a thing. You can leave this place, go to 1 John, all the way to the right. Again, if you hit Revelation, come back a little bit. You want to go to 1 John chapter 5. And I never met anybody who didn't want to go to heaven. Actually, that's not true. I met one weirdo. He was on drugs. And really messed up. But I don't think he knew what he was saying. But 1 John chapter 5. And verse 11, if you're almost at Revelation, come back a few pages, you'll hit 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 11. This is the record, this is the written record that you're reading right there, that God hath given unto us eternal life. So what's the truth? Most everybody wants eternal life. God is giving eternal life, and this life is in what? So it's not in a what, it's in a who. His life is in His Son. Watch, verse 12. He that hath the Son, guess what he has? He's got life. And he that hath not the Son of God, whoops, no matter how much he wants eternal life, without Jesus, you can't get it. So what's amazing is it comes as a package, doesn't it? So Jesus wants to give the gift to this woman of Samaria, but He's actually offering her Himself. And how many of you, you probably know the truth that you'd much rather have somebody there in your life than any amount of money. You'd rather have a hand to hold. There's no better gift than the gift of a personal friend. There's no better gift than the person of your wife, than the very person of your husband, the gift of the presence of your children or your grandchildren. The world can have its billions and billions that are spent on robots and iPods and baby dolls and games and holidays. But let me kiss a cheek. Let me lean on a shoulder. Let me tickle an underarm. And I've got my fun. Amen? There's nothing better than a personal gift. Can you understand that? Oh, so many people have a miserable Christmas. You know why? Because there's no one in their lives. There's no one to visit them. There's no one inviting them over for a meal. There's no one that says, I love you, or just grabs them and holds them and hugs them and won't let them go. That will make a Christmas, amen? Oh, the people knew just how much that matters to our hearts. And you know, God knew it. And so He personally came to this world. When those angels cried out and He says, to those shepherds who were terrified, He says, "Woo, be of good cheer. He's come. He is born in the city of David. You got to go see Him." The personal gift had come. Amen? It wasn't a mail order drop. It was the person of the Son of God. And that person, you think of Jesus, a blind man. Jesus touched his eyes. It is an amazing, a leper who was covered from head to toe with crawling, creeping bacteria and oozing flesh. And Jesus reached up and touched him and healed him. Jesus didn't just from a distance go, be healed, but don't get near. Jesus broke all the taboos and touched lives. I would rather have a person and the gift of a person than any amount of material thing or money. Can you agree with that? Much better at Christmas. Jesus personally spoke into our darkness. He personally saw and felt the infirmities and struggles that we go through. And He personally carried our sins and our sorrows onto the cross. Amen? You know what He did? He personally declared the gift of forgiveness was now available to absolutely anyone who would ask in His name. Folks, apply this truth in your life. Number one, if you're still alone and lost, if you still don't know where you will spend eternity, let me ask you to do this today. Receive the person of Jesus Christ in your life and in your heart. He wants to save you. It's not a prayer you pray, it's a person you surrender to and you allow into your life. And when it comes to giving a gift, Christian, try giving yourself. I think, and I'm glad my wife's not here, so hopefully she won't hear this thing for this message for a couple of weeks. But you know, my wife would rather me give her a jar of something called a honeydew list. You ever hear those things? They're pure wicked. It's evil. It is wrong. No, what you do is you look around the house and you see things that your wife would like you to do. You put it on little slips of paper. You put it in that thing. And she says, what are you going to give me today? She says, go ahead. She opens up the jar. She pulls it out. Clean the gutters. Oh. Christmas. It's me she wants. Amen? Me doing something just for her. Isn't that sweet? And that's what God does. Every time you pray, He's saying, what's the list? And He does it. That's God. Do you realize how much He loves us? I believe the best gifts are personal gifts. Secondly, the best gifts are spiritual gifts. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In your Bible. Still in your New Testament. The best gifts are spiritual gifts. I believe materialism is way overrated. You know, you see all of those gifts under the tree, and then after Christmas, you have bags of packaging, and you wonder, how'd they fit under the tree? The amount of packaging at Christmas is astronomical. The amount of wastage, all the stuff that people don't want. The amount of disappointment at Christmas at not getting what you did want. Folks, things cannot bless your heart. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter's been preaching in verse 37. If you'll notice, it says there. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? What shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent. That's a good starting place, amen? And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Jews wanted this. The Jews wanted the gift of the land back under their dominion. They wanted the Romans out. That's what they wanted. They wanted to be in control of their domestic affairs. They wanted to have their own government. They wanted to have their own money again. And Peter says, you know what you need? You need the gift of the Holy Ghost. The best gifts are the gifts that money cannot buy. These are the gifts that are spiritual in nature. They make up for a whole load of sadness and problems in your life. Did you know the problems that we have, I don't care what problem you have, did you know the problems we have are all spiritual problems? They are not money problems. They're not drink problems. They're not drug problems. The problem in Ireland is not related to a thing. It's related to a spirit that the Irish society has. The problems every person has on this planet are rooted deeply in a part of us that is totally empty without the Holy Spirit in their life. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching to a crowd of over 30,000 devout, faithful Jews, God bless you, who have gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And he's telling them that with all their religion, all their devotion, all their prayers, all their giving, all their pilgrimages, they had overlooked one thing. They had overlooked their Savior. They had actually crucified the one who'd come to save them. They had wanted their Messiah to be a fighter, a political activist. They wanted Him to defeat the Romans and restore Israel to her materialistic glory. But in the process of rejecting Jesus, they had missed the gift of the Holy Ghost Himself. They had looked for Mr. Carnality, Mr. Thing, and they had missed Mr. Spiritual. What are the spiritual gifts freely offered us by God? They are the filling of Himself. I'm glad I don't get just a taste. I get the filling of the Holy Spirit. How many of you like Christmas food? Like all the wonder. Come on, raise your hand. How many of you love the food at Christmas? Don't you hate it when they're fixing it and you're not allowed to taste it? I think it's wrong. But I love the taste and the flavor, the color of Christmas dinners. Amen. It is, and the dinners that are, you know, the leftovers are even better. Amen. It is amazing. But what if they fixed all of that and then allowed you to have just a taste? You'd kill, wouldn't you? You know what the Lord does? He just doesn't show you all of heaven. He doesn't show you all the good life, the Christian life. He says, now, get full of it. Get full of it. See, the world sits out there and on tap. They'll keep the bottles coming. They'll keep the pints coming. They'll keep the shot glasses coming. And you never get full. You just get stupid. But when you go to the Lord Jesus Christ and you find out there is a spiritual gift that is just as real, it's invisible, but it's just as real as every drink you ever had. It's just as real as every euro you ever held. It's just as real as every car you ever drove. And yet it's more powerful. And when you get full of that, you have life. That's the gift. The best gifts are invisible. I'd rather have the peace of God than a piece of Irish dirt. Amen. Amen. Do you realize how peaceful God is? He's never upset. Amen. He never put out. He didn't fret or worry. And the Bible says the peace of God can fill your soul. I'd like to have that. Whew. When I got saved on the 15th of June 1980, I made peace with God. But I found out I can have the peace of God. That's a gift. It's a spiritual gift. And the best gifts are spiritual. They are invisible. All of these are spiritual gifts. And they're much better than boxes and warehouses full of stuff that really mean nothing to my soul. Let me tell you a story. The story is told of a young girl who was dying of leukemia, who asked her father to bring her a shoebox and some very expensive gold wrapping paper. The little girl carefully wrapped the shoebox as best as she could, and then she put on the outside, "Tell Mommy." That afternoon, her mother came to visit her in the hospital and found her asleep in the box next to her. Seeing her name on it, she carefully opened the box, only to find it empty. Shrugging her shoulders, she dismissed the gift as nothing and just leaned over the child and kissed her on the cheek. Upon waking, the little girl turned to her mother and saw the box open and said, "Mommy, how do you like your gift?" The mother fumbled with her words and said, "Fine. Thank you." But the girl asked, "But Mommy, do you know what's in the box?" Well, no, sweetheart. It's kisses. I blew, I think, 1,000 kisses into the box just for you. Well, that hit her like a brick, and the two hugged, and the mother was so thankful to her daughter for the full box, for the box full of kisses. But funny thing, she never opened that box again. Never thought to. Until a month later, when the little girl died. After the funeral, the devastated mother came home and noticed that simple, empty shoebox on her dresser. It was then that she nearly ran to open it. And she began to weep and to cry with tears of joy as she allowed those kisses to come wafting over from that simple plain box all over her heart. And she never forgot that that box was there to just cover in kisses, even though her child was gone. And you've got a plain old book that every time you open it, the kisses of God will flood over your soul if you'll just let it. If you just realize, yes, He died. And yes, He's gone. But He left something that just covers you with His love daily. It is not physical. It is something money cannot buy. But it sure can make your day. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. The best gifts are invisible. And you'd pay everything you own just to have that kind of a love given to you. As invisible as that is. Third, and aren't you glad the best gifts are free? Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Oh, that you would let the love of God kiss your soul this morning. Hug on your broken heart and lift your spirit. Acts chapter 8 now in verse 20. The best gifts are free. We speak in the spiritual things. Look at chapter 8. And if you look back here, verse 18, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, here's this gift, he offered them what? Wow! Saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter, watch him, said unto him, thy money perish with thee. Wow! Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Do you know how many people I know who make the same mistake? They are thinking that they can pay their way into heaven. They think that through the trouble they're going through, that they're paying their way into heaven. They think that they have earned a right to call themselves Christian. Believe me, it's a gift, and you cannot pay for it. The best gifts, according to God, are free. How would you like to wake up on Christmas morning, gather around the Christmas tree, and be given a register receipt showing you how much your gifts cost? And you're not allowed to open them until you come up with the cash. That'd be a real sad Christmas morning, amen? Now when I say free, I don't mean cheap or plastic or flimsy. I mean to you and me, these gifts that we're talking about are free. To the recipient, there's no cost at all. But to the giver, it costs him everything. Amen? That's a gift. Look, if you're in Acts, go to the right and find Romans chapter 5. Just one more book to the right, find Romans chapter 5. You know these gifts. The person who's receiving them, it doesn't cost us anything. But look at what it costs God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Now the word commend is to give. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were, look at the big word there, yet sinners, yet in trouble. Amen? Christ died for us. Go back to verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ didn't just die for, all right, well, sinners, yeah. No, look at the word. The ungodly. Now that's a gift. When was the last time you went up to your worst enemy and gave them something? And it cost you everything. And they just walk away with it. That's what God did. That's what God did. The best gifts are free. You know, we were in debt up to the moon. And Jesus Christ paid it all off, all the way down to the bottom. He steps in with such love, He pays off our debt, He loves the ungodly and saves the sinner all at His expense. Amen? And you know what's funny? A lot of us don't like to be taken advantage of. We don't like to give a gift to somebody and them just run off and not say thank you. Amen? And yet, how many times have people done that to God? How little. Remember Jesus? 10 lepers were on the side crying out, and the crowd were way off in the distance, and they knew they weren't allowed to get up near Jesus. And these lepers said to Jesus, have mercy on us, we want to be healed. And Jesus said, okay. Now go show the priest that you're healed. As they turned, instantly their flesh came back as good as new. And they just started skipping and shouting, as they went off in the distance. And one guy went, whoop. He did it! And he ran back to Jesus, fell on his feet, and he said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Jesus said, where are the other nine? Aren't we like that? Boy, we'll take and take and take. And then, pew! And no thank you. No appreciation. But that's a gift. See, the Lord knew that. And when He gives, He knows we're not going to be very thankful. And yet He gives. Is that the best kind of gift or not? When it's really free, no strings attached. I think it's amazing. I think the best gifts are free. You know, Romans, go to the right a few more. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Go to 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and then Galatians, and then Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. look at this. For by grace are you saved. And when he says grace there, think of this. For by his givingness. It's just the fact that he wants to give that you get saved. For by grace are you saved. Hey, it's through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Look at verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Truly, the best gifts are free, free, free. Not of works. You can't earn them. The best gifts are free. It wouldn't be a gift if it wasn't. Amen. Fourthly, the best gifts are abundant. How would you like this? Before I deal with this thing, how would you like if you worked all year long and the company did well, and then the company said, we're going to have a big presentation of bonuses this year. You went, ooh, wow, the company's done well. Could use some extra money. And you sit down and your boss or the, what do they usually have, the personnel director, the human resources director sits down with you and says, okay, your wages are, say you get 38,000 euros a year. You wish 88,000, but you get 38,000. And they say, okay, you've earned 38,000. And out of your and I'm going to give you 2,000 euros out of your 38,000. That's your bonus this year. And you go, no, I earned that. That is not a, you understand? No. Give me 2,000 on top of my 38,000. And that's a gift. You understand? See, God doesn't give us what He owes us. He gives us above. More than we could ever earn because it's free. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Back to Romans chapter 5. And I love this. The best gifts are abundant. They say that rare gifts make the best gifts, and I disagree. I disagree. Many years ago, there was a Christmas gift called, how many of you remember the Cabbage Patch Doll? Remember that thing? Did anybody get one? Did you get one? It went on sale just before Christmas one year. I can't remember when. About 1980 or something like that. And it quickly sold out. Within a few days, people were demanding more dolls to be made and shipped. But the company never anticipated just how big the product would be. And they couldn't get production up fast enough for Christmas. And people were scrambling to find the last remaining dolls, and sharks were out there selling the children's dolls for hundreds, the equivalent of hundreds of euros of profit just because of its scarcity. You know, when God decided to give the best gifts, He didn't make it so that you had to scramble and search and struggle to find. Aren't you glad? Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. It's the opposite. For if through the offense of one many be dead, guess who that one is? That was Adam. For as the offense of one man, many be dead. He sure did ruin life, amen? Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath what? Abounded unto the same many. How many? Well, there are 6.5 billion alive today. How many people have been alive? He died enough for everybody. That's an abundant gift. Amen? Not like the offense. The offense, when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't murder anybody. They just disobeyed God. And that offense ruined our lives. It sent us spiraling down into death. But in the opposite way, Jesus Christ brought about the free gift that is abundant enough to save everybody. It is abundant. When God decided to give the best gifts, He did not make it so that only a few could find it and possess it. He didn't make a limited edition called salvation. He made it available for absolutely everyone. Go to Hebrews. You can leave Romans. Go to the right. Find Hebrews. And chapter 7 and verse 25. I appreciate the fact that there is absolutely no one who's beyond the reach of His grace, of His givingness. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost. that come to God by Him, not by their church, not by their good works, but you just get to God because of Jesus. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Forget Mary, forget the Pope, forget the preacher, forget your mother, forget your prayers and their money and their pilgrimages. You know what you need? Jesus Christ. He'll get you in. Amen? It was abundantly available to the thief on the cross, just as it was available to the woman caught in adultery. It was available to a confused religious leader named Nicodemus, just as it is abundantly available to anyone today. God's gifts are not only for everyone, but you know what I found out? God's gifts keep coming. Listen to these words in Lamentations. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. That's the kind of gift I like. Amen? I mean, how would you like to get a pair of runners who every morning you put them on, they're brand new. Whew. Never wear out. You'd wear those every day, wouldn't you? How would you like to have a car that never wore out? Never needed to get fixed? How'd you like to have a brain that never wore out? Amen? We talk about things. How'd you like to have something that never wears out? Never needs batteries? Never needs to be wound up? Never needs to be replaced? That's the best gifts. They're abundant because they just keep coming. I jotted down quickly. I like writing poems. I never get to do it very often, but sometimes they just start. I just started thinking this morning, "Aren't you glad?" This is the title of the poem. It's called "Aren't You Glad?" Aren't you glad there's still room at the cross? That there's still grace available to save your soul? Aren't you glad that Christ's gift to all mankind is enough to actually make you whole? Could it be that this old world just never will understand the amount of grace that God freely gives from the place of His awesome right hand? Aren't you glad that one by one every sinner still can find the same love that was there all yesterday is still available just because He's kind? Aren't you glad and more so when life takes a nosedive down and takes away everything you thought you had, only to find in Him you're still safe and sound? So when this Christmas your pockets are empty and your bank accounts are low, please remember that our Savior's loving grace for all mankind will ever always only overflow. Aren't you glad? I am. The greatest lovers never stop loving you, and the greatest gifts never stop coming. Aren't you glad for an abundant gift from God? And the best gifts last. They are eternal. Back to Romans chapter 5. We've looked at two verses. Another one here. Two more in Romans. Romans chapter 5 and verse 21 says this: that as sin hath reigned unto death, and it did, the reign of sin was death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto what? Eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Go over the page, go to chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is not partial, not temporary, but eternal life. The best gifts, they last and they last and they last. Who wants a beautiful painting that warps and peels with time? Who would want a new watch that stops working after just 1 week? Who wants a new computer that can't even run the operating system that you buy with it, much less the software you need it to? Who wants a bike that has brakes that never quite stay tight? Who wants a doll whose head never quite stays on? Truly, the best gifts are the ones that last, and only God's gifts are eternal. Do you know what I found out? God's forgiveness lasts. He never takes it back. Isn't it wonderful to know that the gift of God that He gave on the cross is eternal? My grandmother would sometimes show off the gifts from my father, grandfather, after he died, that he had given her when they were courting 60 years earlier. She kept letters, notes, little gifts, earrings. She even kept the boxes and the wrapping paper that those gifts came in. What was funny, the boxes and the wrapping paper were fading. And I look back and I go, as all things do, but you know what she was showing? She was showing me gifts that lasted, amen, that really meant something to her. But nothing lasts like God's gifts. Let me read for you. You don't have to go there, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14, it says this. Very powerful truth. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. And nothing can be taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. That's awesome. What God does, He does forever. And He does it so that you go, whoa, He's worth fearing. Amen? Last thought. Just about the best gifts. Really, the best gifts change a life. The best gifts change a life. Now we'll go to Isaiah, where we started this morning in our memory verse. You'll find in the middle of your Bible, Psalms. Go to the right and find Isaiah chapter 61. I want to let the Lord paint a picture for you of a very devastated young lady. God, when He looks at His people, these were the Jews at that day, His people were pretty devastated, pretty wore out, pretty defeated. And I want you to see how God gave a gift that would change their life. It's there in chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and we know this is Jesus. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Not to the proud. The proud will never hear this message, but the meek will. He hath sent me to bind up, here we go, we can all fit in this, brokenhearted. To proclaim clear liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and, watch the balance, the day of the vengeance of our God. Aren't you glad that He tells us both sides, and He gives us warning? Look what the whole purpose is. To comfort all that mourn. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. What? What does He want to appoint? What does He want to command for? To give unto them beauty for ashes. To give unto them the joy, the oil of joy for their mourning. To give unto them the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness that they had. That they might be called the trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord that He might be glorified. Let me talk to you about how the Lord was changing Israel's life and wants to change your life. God appoints for broken people some very precious Christmas gifts if they will just accept them. He will give them beauty in the place of their ashes. He will actually give you the oil of joy, and we're going to learn what that is in a moment, in the place of our normal mourning. He will give us the garment of praise in the place of our sadness and heaviness. You know what Isaiah is describing here? God is using Isaiah to describe a young lady who has no prospect for a husband. She hasn't been loved or cared for forever. She has never known what love really is. This woman has become so discouraged and defeated that she wears ashes on her face. All she's doing is showing what's in her heart. Only burned out dreams. She mourns because of all of the abuse that she has endured by people who call themselves lovers, but they were abusers and false lovers, full of false hopes. And she's in heaviness of spirit because she has no hope for anyone ever reaching down to her and making a difference in her life. And then comes Jesus. And He washes away the ashes. And He brings out the beauty. He covers her dried out and cracked skin with oil. It makes her shine and glow with joy and health. And He places, look down in verse 17. No. Let me find it. Chapter 61, verse 11. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, talk about spring, and the garden causeth the things that are sown. No, it's not it. Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. This is the woman speaking. For He hath clothed me with the garments of... Ooh, He's changed my life. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, like as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Here, God places a wedding garment on her, and He asks her to marry Him. All of a sudden, you tell me, if this poor, destitute, unlovely, unlovable young lady here, nobody ever cared for, in comes God Almighty, says, I love you. I want to marry you. You tell me if that wouldn't just make her beam. You tell me if after He has cleaned her up and bought her the wedding outfit, His righteousness, and says, this is for you, this is my gift to you, the best gifts will change your life. When Jesus Christ on that cross cried out, Father, forgive those sinners, forgive the ungodly, forgive those who hate me, forgive those who crucified me, forgive them! They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what or how or any way to fix their situation, but I will. Because I love them. I tell you what, that'll change your life, amen. You see, we're not talking about church. We're not talking about a religious exercise. We're not talking about the things you must do. We're talking about a love that gave, that changes a life totally. Some of you have been loved. You never thought it was possible. Somebody came into your life. Some of you hypnotized. I know, that's how you got them. But the rest of us were pretty amazed at the miracle of somebody loving us. Amen? And it marvelously changed our lives. And then we found out that God did it too. And I'm telling you this. When you get a gift like that, when you get a gift of such a Savior as Jesus in that manger, He came to save. The angel said, a Savior is born. Not a monarch, not a ruler, not yet. He's coming back. But a Savior is born. That gift doesn't just get put on your tie rack. Doesn't just get put in the dresser drawer. Doesn't get put in the toy box. That gift changes your life. Would you agree? It would show on your face, just like Moses spending time with the Lord, coming down and showed on his face. God compares the change to becoming like a fruitful tree instead of a dried up old bush that has no root and is only blown around in the wind. He says, and you'll be like a tree. See, our lives, we're just like, you ever heard of tumbleweeds? I mean, you know, the Old West tumbleweed, dried up old bush. That's us. Jesus said, let me plant you by the rivers of water. Let you bring forth fruit in your season. Let it be so that no matter what you do, it prospers. I want to be that. That's the kind of life that I want to live. A changed life. I don't want to live my old life and try to patch it up. I want to live the life that where He cleans me up and He changes me and puts on a garment that is like the bright white garment of a wedding garment. That is just stunning. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, whoever notices the groom at a wedding? You ever notice that? What in the world? Heard about the little girl who says, Mommy, why is the woman wearing white? Because she's so happy it's her wedding day. Also, why is the guy wearing black? Boy, I tell you what, when that bride comes in and everybody stands up, it's because it's praise. It is beauty. It is gorgeous. And God will do that for you. Folks, what are the best gifts? The best gifts are personal. When somebody gives you that gift and hands it to you, the best gifts are spiritual. They don't have to be physical. They're just as real. The best gifts are free. No strings attached. The best gifts are abundant. They just keep coming. The best gifts last and last and last and last and last. And the best gifts change your life. Have you let the gift of God change your life? Or is it still unwrapped? Is it still this empty box? Maybe to some people, the gift of God is like this book. And you go, And you just set it there. And you never just let it open up. And let the love of God just waft over you and just hug you and hold you and say it's going to be all right. The best gifts change your life. If you let those gifts change your life, He changed mine. And He's changed countless others, not through our religion, but through our relationship. We with somebody who's a giver. Amen. Let's stand and let's bow in prayer. With no one looking around, every head bowed, please. Christmas is 23 days away. But we're speaking of eternity. Time doesn't matter. Do you know somebody in this room may not make it to Christmas? I'm very well aware of, as a pastor, I don't count on tomorrow. I do my best today. And if I were not a born-again child of God, if I did not know where I was going to spend eternity, if I didn't, oh, you're the pastor, wouldn't make a single bit of difference. If I didn't know where I was going to spend eternity, today I would make it sure. I would find out how to ask God Almighty to give me the gift of eternal life. You know what I can tell you right now? It's very simple. Just ask. Remember that verse? If ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good gifts, the best gifts, unto them that ask Him? Have you ever asked Him to save your soul? You ever asked Him to give you the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of all your sins? Do you know it's possible? It's not just possible. It's promised. And He cannot lie. Will you take Him up on His promise? You do not have to be perfect. You know what? You probably could match that list there in Isaiah. Mourning, heavy, sorrowful, defeated, all your dreams in ashes, your life a mess. Hey, guess what? That's an indicator you need to be loved. And you need to be loved by the only one who can love you unconditionally, perfectly, and completely. And that His kind of love will actually completely change your life. And He's waiting at the door of your heart, knocking, saying, "Let me in. I'll start all over with you, and we'll show this world just what I can do." He makes everything beautiful in His time. Will you let Him make something beautiful out of your life? Christian, this Christmas, pressure's on. Gotta spend, spend, spend. What are you really giving to your family? What are the things that will really matter to them? You know what? They probably just like you. They like you to spend time with them. They probably just like a hug. And like you to just forget about a lot of past. Just dismiss a lot of grief and sorrow and just love on them. Just overlook a lot of sin and a lot of trouble. I think Christmas could be magical again. Ah, it's going to be hard. Gifts always cost the giver. Amen? But aren't you glad you got a gift? If you're saved, you got a gift. And it should have changed your life enough to be able to give to somebody else now. Father, please bless this message. Please help every person in this room to settle some things about giving and receiving. Some people in this room need to settle their relationship with you. It's not going to be based on what church they go to. It's not going to be based on what good works they do. Their relationship's going to be based on whether they allow you to come into their life and take over and be Lord and Savior. Somebody in this room needs to let you save them now. I don't have to convince anybody in this room they're lost, they're sinners. Lord, none of us are good enough. We're a mess. And then comes Jesus. He just says, "Will you let me save you?" I'm going to ask you right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're not born again, if you're not a child of God, I didn't say if you're Catholic or Baptist or Protestant or Mormon or anything. I said, are you born again? Has Jesus made you into a child of God by faith, through His grace, not of works? Will you let Him save you now? Just ask Him. And Christian, don't go away from here the same. Fall in love with Jesus again. Let the gifts this Christmas be spiritual too. Let your kids and your grandkids have some spiritual blessings this Christmas, not just physical. Tell them a Bible story. Tell them while they're in your arms. Hold your mates. Just tell them you love them. Unconditionally. You learned about the gifts, and now you want to be a giver. Will you do that? For Jesus' sake. And in His name we pray. Amen. Let's grab our hymnal. Grab our hymnal. Let's remain standing.